while all this is happening, the National Guard is deployed to Israel instead. The government aid is non-existent right now. They're not doing anything for anybody. It's their neighbors who are helping each other. And believe me, when the church, when the government comes in, they're going to be doing things against the people who are there as well. But listen to what happened to this helicopter pilot. He was seeing all these messages on Facebook and other places about people, help, I'm stranded, I'm about out of cell phone battery and all this other kind of stuff, and cell phone coverage is going in and out. I don't have any food or water. I need some help. He's got a helicopter. So he decides that he's going to help. He and his son. And I want you to hear what this preening little petty fogging bureaucrat did.
This is the original post that I was reading when I decided to go up and help. It's a long post, but she's saying that her kids and family and animals are trapped. No way out, no supplies, and the only way in or out is accessible by helicopter. Limited cell service and no water since Friday morning. I thought I have a helicopter and maybe I can help.
Jordan Sidham piled food and water into his helicopter Saturday and headed up toward Banner Elk. The only way through, a mountain gap in Lake Lure.
This is the mountain valley that you would have to fly to get to Black Mountain, where we were escorting people out. This is a mountain range, and this is a mountain range. The only place to fly through with bad visibility, low cloud coverage, is Lake Lure.
The cries for help from people stranded without food, water, or electricity hit social media soon after the flooding last Friday.
But my parents are stuck there. Their address is Banner Elk. They are in the first condo. If you receive this, please give me a call back. Thank you.
Sidham's phone started lighting up on Saturday with people begging for help.
I mean, I could hear the desperation in her voice. This is multiple phone calls I've received like this, voicemails, text messages, and you could hear people desperate for help.
Sidham and his son rescued four people on Saturday and spent the night in a nearby pilot's lounge, then decided to fly again Sunday morning.
I spoke with my son, which is my co-pilot. I said, hey, do you want to go back out and try to help today? And His response was, there's so many messages, I don't think we can't not go help.
Sidham and his son were headed up to Black Mountain. Flight tracking shows no flight restrictions in place Saturday or Sunday morning when Sidham flew through the Lake Lure Gap. But that was all about to change. The Sidham spotted an older couple waving for help, then landed in what's left of their driveway.
Hey, I want you to let me get in. You step out. Go out, help her in, put her bag in the back, get her strapped in. I'm going to take her down, come back. I'll take him, I'll come back, and then I'll get you, okay?
I originally left my son, co-pilot, on the side of the mountain. It was kind of unstable, so I didn't want to put more weight in the helicopter to lift back off. So I left my son with the other victim, and I was just going to take one person down at the time. And you could hear me in the video talking through with the victims and with my son, what we're going to do.
3 minutes away, Sidham spotted a group of rescuers just down the river. He landed and found someone in charge.
Told him my background experience, law enforcement, firefighting, pilot. He immediately started helping with coordination. He gave me radio frequencies to coordinate with them on, set up a landing area for me to come back with the other victim. And in the middle of the whole conversation and them blocking the road off, I was greeted by the, at that time I didn't know, but Lake Lure fire chief or assistant chief maybe, and he shut down the whole operation. So at that point, I felt like the
conversation Barney Fife
going any further. And again, he asked me to leave, and I said, hey, I have no problem getting out of your area. If that's what you want us to do, we'll leave, no issue. At that point, I asked him, you know, what was the reason I had to leave them there? And he said, again, you're interfering with my operation. I just need you to get out of the area. I said, sir, I don't know where you
were. Because I said so.
How my training is, and I'm not going to leave personnel behind. I'm going back to get my co-pilot. He said, if you turn around and go back up the mountain, you're going to be arrested. I said, well, sir, I'm going back to get my co-pilot. I don't know what to tell you. And he said, I'm letting you know. And at that point, he waved for two law enforcement officers to come over and told me that again, if I go back up the mountain, I would be arrested.
He flew the 3-minute trip back, picked up his son, and left the woman's husband behind.
I'm sure he was flooded with emotions and trying to rescue other people, and I just felt that it was best at the time to leave. So I did follow his instructions, and I had a conversation with the female victim before I left, apologized and explained, and she was standing there. She heard the whole conversation, and they were both very, very surprised, very upset. The husband, as I was leaving off of the side of the mountain at that point, separated from his wife, he was upset. I can only imagine.
Sidham and his nearly 1,400 flight hours turned his chopper around and headed back to South Carolina, passing people waving for help along the way.
As I was actually leaving to go back to get my son, the original chief or captain that I spoke to, his crew and himself, they came back over and said, "Hey, man, we can't tell you to go get the victim. We can't even ask you to go get the victim, but we can tell you if you come back with the victim, we'll have you a designated landing spot, and they won't. We'll make sure they don't come over here."
So there was no flight restriction when you went in?
No flight restriction when I went in. It went in place 20 or 30 minutes after the confrontation with Mr.
You feel like that was coincidental, or do you think that that was because of what happened?
I don't think it can be coincidental when there has not been one in place the day before doing rescue operations, the night of, the morning of, that took place after our altercation. I think there would have never been a TFR put in place had we not had that conversation. If I had to do it over again, I would have stopped and I would have rescued as many people until they decided they were going to arrest me.
Well, for now, we've chosen not to name that Lake Lure fire official because communications in and out of that town are still difficult. We want
Barney Fife.
To decide
Barney Fife.
His story, and if and when he responds to our messages, we will include that. The good news is I saw a video of a Coast Guard helicopter landing in Lake Lure this morning, so hopefully some of those mountain rescues are underway today. From Pageland, Joe
Carr. Well, only a couple of days after this all happened, and out of the National Guard, maybe they scraped some up that they hadn't sent off to Israel or Ukraine or something, right? Yeah, we come last with everything, if we come at all, don't we? In the minds of Washington, they are dead set against us in every regard. The National Guard in these states has been massively deployed to Israel instead of serving their communities, where the devastation now reigns. You'll also hear rumors about the death of Cash and how they are greatly exaggerated because Cash is king in times like this. Absolutely is. One person put up, this is the update I just got from my lineman friend in Asheville. Went up Old Fort Road where it connects to number 9. Whole area is gone. 100-foot ravine where houses used to sit. Kids walking around naked asking where their parents are. People begging, all uppercase, begging for water. Black Hawk helicopters from FEMA are flying around. I don't want to talk about the smell of the dead bodies. I'm in disbelief. Are they get there days later? Are they helping anybody? Who knows? But we got these little, fire chief or assistant fire chief doing his Barney Fife impersonation. I'm telling you, you got to get out of here right now. I'm going to throw you in jail. Amazing. This guy, former law enforcement officer, firefighter, helicopter pilot, 1,400 hours. No, you can't help anybody because, you see, to too many people in government, the power of their office and their uniform is far more important to them than what happens to the people. And these are the very types of people who will do whatever the higher up tells them, and they don't care. They'll execute you if they're told to. These are the Milgram experiment, the Nuremberg people. These are the people who authority is everything to them. Their authority, the authority above them, they care nothing for their fellow man. Nothing at all. As I pointed out, Whistler, when he did in high school, he won a competition when he talked about how that was handled locally. Tornado came through, did a lot of damage. The police, the sheriff's department comes out, keeps people away from the down power lines. But other than that, it was volunteers contributing, companies, individuals taking food and water and supplies and all kinds of stuff to church parking lots, the church people handing it out to people. And that's what's happening here again as well. Thousands of North Carolina residents look to local churches for supplies and prayers. People are broken, they said. More than 5,000 people sought help at First Baptist Church in Hendersonville. volunteer support like this in an emergency can get all this stuff out before the federal government puts its pants on. Because, you know, they're partying somewhere. A member of the local church assisting residents with disaster relief efforts by distributing basic supplies in the wake of Hurricane Helene's destruction said the crisis has left the community broken but united. I was hearing story after story. People are broken. It was incredible what I heard today. Senior pastor Justin Alexander posted on Facebook, said about 5,000 people in the town of approximately 15,000, about one-third of the people, drove through the church's parking lot 25 miles south of Asheville. And again, this is the same type of thing that we saw in our small community. While FEMA was lording it over with law enforcement and all the rest of bullying people, bossing people around, not helping anybody at the coast when you had a major hurricane. When the federal government gets involved, that's the way they respond. And unfortunately, what we're seeing here is that the churches are helping people. You see some local officials even starting to tell, well, I'm in charge here. Get out of here. You can't help anybody. We're going to wait until the official people do it and all this other kind of stuff. But they also talked to a woman who they said is no stranger to helping people in a crisis. She's actually the executive director of a women's crisis center there in Asheville, the Ascend Women's Center in Asheville. Her crisis pregnancy center in West Asheville made headlines in 2022 when it was among those that was vandalized by Antifa, affiliated group Jane's Revenge. But she was there among the 100 volunteers and staff at the church dispensing food, water, basic hygiene products to residents throughout the day on Monday. She said, I found when I would ask people to pray about stuff, they would tell me some things to pray about their home or their missing loved one or whatever the need, she said. But they were all saying, I just don't know what to do with this. One young mother told Brown that she was rattled as her husband was helping remove the hundreds of downed trees from his roads and noted that she wouldn't have been able to feed her infant if she hadn't had the forethought to sanitize 25 baby bottles before the storm. She had gotten down to her last bottle of water by the time she got to the church. You know, this is why I like to remind people, especially in a situation like this, you know, whether, and we're going to talk about what was behind this, you know, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's man-made, whether there's an agenda, whether it's war, this type of thing. Civil Defense Manual, you can find it at civildefensemanual.com. By Jack Lawson, you know, do you think about what kind of preparations you need to make? This is the kind of thing that can help you to prepare in a lot of different ways. And so make sure that you've thought through some of these things. And Jack has put together a lot of people, experts to give advice. As a matter of fact, you can get free advice about how to make sure you continue to get water when things happen like this, and you know, fresh water. That's a free chapter that he has there at civildefensemanual.com. Give you an idea of just how thorough and comprehensive the information is. He's got a couple of free chapters there. But getting back to this lady who was just about out of water for her babies and just made it to the church, Brown said she started crying when I first started speaking to her. She said, it's just so overwhelming. She said, after I prayed with her, she just reached her arms up. I didn't know her. I never met her in my life. And she said, can I hug you? She said, I said, absolutely. So we just hugged through the car window, just embraced me and wouldn't let me go. She was just sobbing in her car. She said, even if their house is spared, Brown said, many of the people are straining under the trauma of witnessing the shocking scale of devastation in their community. It's just all gone. And they're wondering what they're going to do. And we'll talk about the fact that many of us are wondering what's going to be done to them. Are they going to lose their homes? Was this a plan to begin with? Many people are saying, this is looking a lot like Maui, isn't it? It's looking actually a lot worse than Maui, frankly. Despite the widespread suffering, Brown said she remains hopeful. She said there is absolutely an opportunity for the gospel amid the darkness. That's why we're asking people if we could pray with them today, to give them spiritual hope in the midst of this crisis, this devastation. As we were praying with them and giving them food and water, all the things they needed, we were just letting them know that there is hope, there is peace. None of this caught God off guard. Even though we're all caught off guard with it, he's still going to provide the needs that everybody needs. So we were trying to give them that spiritual hope today. And she said, this is going to take years, not weeks, to recover from. People right now don't even know where to turn for the basics. She said, it's not that I doubt God or his sovereignty, just that I'm struggling so much with the loss and the destruction. How do people come back from this? This is one of the age-old questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the Bible says over and over again, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from Isaiah to Romans, that there are no good people. There's none who's good, not one. All of us have turned our own way. All of us have raised our fist in defiance to God one way or the other. We've all been involved in cosmic rebellion. And so the question is, why do good things happen to bad people like us? All the time, good things are happening to bad people like us. And the gospel is what God did for a rebellious people, sending his son to remove their sins as far as the east is from the west, to forgive that rebellion, to let people start again, and to never have that brought up again. So just keep that in mind, you know. Well, that is the good news, that God sent his son to make peace with us, that really good things have happened for really bad people. None of us deserve anything that we get. It is all grace and mercy from God. Hundreds of thousands are dead and missing. Thousands are missing in Appalachia. And of course, you know, it's up to 150 or more people that they verified are dead. They found bodies and trees and the rest of the stuff. There's still hundreds and hundreds of people who are missing, and it's unknown what their fate is. This is what one lady put up about what is happening with the looting.
I want to share with y'all some things you may not know about what's happening in the North Carolina mountains in the aftermath of Helene. Here's number one. If you have friends or family that are headed into the mountains or who live there, the looting has picked up major steam. I was advised yesterday by a county sheriff to make sure that anybody out and about is carrying. And in his words, carrying with the safety off. There are very aggressive people out there. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. It's not because they're necessarily awful. They're desperate. Desperate people do desperate things, y'all. And why are they desperate? Because there's no water in some of these communities. We have neighbors in North Carolina with no water. And all I can say is this, the government ain't coming to save you. Not now, not ever, because they don't care about you, the people, anymore. It is the citizens
that's right,
who
they don't
have to step it up. Now, I got to tell y'all, I was floored yesterday by how my community, which is a little over an hour away from the affected areas, showed up at donation sites with water and diapers and formula and some liquid IV. I mean, y'all brought all kind of things, bleach, vinegar. You are ready to help, and we're going to take more donations today, and we're so grateful for everything because I'm going to get it into the hands of actual volunteers. And I was asking people, like, why are you bringing it to me? Some of y'all don't even know me. And they said, well, we don't trust the relief organizations anymore. Y'all, we have lost our organizations to grifters. We have lost our organizations to liars. And so we have to rely on each other because that's how this country was built. This country was built patriot by patriot. And I can tell you this, as a realtor, I know my realtors in the mountains, and I have talked to them, and they know the neighbors too. So I am getting your donations into hands that are going to get it into hands. And everybody that sent me dollars, I got teams of shoppers out, and I got receipts to prove it, because we are not grifters. We are neighbors. And the patriots that are in the mountains, if you see this, if your family sees this, hear me now. You are not forgotten by the rest of North Carolina. And if you are not in North Carolina, then there are ways that you can give. But can I just remind y'all of something? You cannot eat money. You cannot drink money. So for those of y'all that thought money was your God, and by the way, that includes our freaking elected officials, it's not your God. Told my girlfriend this morning while we were talking about this during our run, I said, tell your children, she's got grown children, this is why you keep a stash of water on hand. This is why you keep a stash of food on hand. But for those of y'all that are not in affected areas, if you can take your donated items and send it to the mountains, then send it with a friend. Make sure you're sending truckloads so that we don't overload the roads because our first responders are overwhelmed. By the way, thank you, Governor DeSantis, for doing more for North Carolina than North Carolina's governor has. I'm very grateful for your National Guard because we have to help each other, y'all. And I'm going to tell you something. If you will share this with somebody who doesn't know what's happening in North Carolina, they need to know. They need to know that there are entire towns gone. Chimney Rock is gone. A beautiful town. Swannanoa, gone. Montreat, gone. Other towns damaged beyond repair. That means our geography has changed. Our culture is at risk. But most importantly, our people, our generational people have lost their generational homes. This ain't about your granite countertops anymore. Listen, y'all, listen. Tell somebody how they can help. I am but one resource. There are people I know all over North and South Carolina that have been gathering up goods and trucks. Somebody as far away as Massachusetts putting a truck together. Let me know. I can connect you to where to take things. The Baptists are doing a great job out of Boone. Samaritan's Purse is on the ground. I trust those two organizations. I wish I had trust for more because I don't trust this government, but I trust the people of North Carolina. Y'all, the biggest thing you can do, pray. Pray right now. Pray fervently that people will turn their hearts back to God and pray for a hedge of protection around all those who have seen things they should never have to see. I'll tell you one more story before I hang up this video. I had a lady come to my donation site yesterday, and her grandson is 10 years old living in the mountains with his mother who works in a VA hospital. They're getting the kid out today to get him home because they can finally get him out, and they're worried because he has seen things he should never have to see. When you have children that are seeing bodies on the ground and towns gone, we're going to have to answer for that one day, y'all. Please pray. Please do something. And for those of y'all that have already done something, I can't thank you enough.
Well, that's the truth. She gave to you straight. It's what I've been saying for the longest time. When things get tough, the government is not going to be there, and you better hope that they don't show up, because when they show up, they're going to make everything much worse, much worse. Organize with your neighbors. Prepare for yourself. Prepare with your neighbors. That's why I said this book, CivilDefenseManual.com, great resource to get you to start to think about this kind of stuff so that you prepare before it happens.
Let me tell you, the David Knight Show, you can listen to with your ears. You can even watch it by using your eyes. In fact, if you can hear me, that means you're listening to the David Knight Show right now. Yeah, good job. And you want to know something else? You can find all the links to everywhere to watch or listen to the show at thedavidknightshow.com. That's a website.